Gopi Chanda Palaba Girvarir Hari. Gopi Chanda Palaba Girvarir Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Pinja Bihari Jaya Radha Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Pavraja Gachara Sotera Sadashi Shimra Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nandakota Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnupadaya, Krishna Vasaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dhanamani Namasi Sarasvati Evam, Gauravani Pacharni Nivrishisha Shunyavadi Pastichari Sadharana. Jai Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm going to read a verse today from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Couldn't quite find an appropriate one in Bhagavad Gita for some reason. But as we all know and probably had a wonderful experience on Friday, of course, was the very holy appearance day of Srimati Radharani. And so sort of still being in that mood of Radharani, what is one of her greatest qualities to the devotees? Compassion. I heard compassion, mercy, absolutely. I think that's what so many of us think of first, is that wonderful compassion that Radharani shows to all of us, to the devotees, to all living entities, and really reflects the compassionate nature of Krishna. It comes through Radharani. And not only does Radharani reflect the compassion of Krishna, but he also injects that same mercy and compassion into his devotees. So the great devotees, the saints and sages, the acharyas in a line, they reflect that compassion that is there in Krishna, and they try to bring that compassion into the material world for the benefit of all living entities. I want to speak about both things today. Generally, the principle of compassion, how it is there in Krishna, how it is in Radharani, and then how the devotees of Krishna and Radharani also share that compassion with everyone. So I'm going to read a verse. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:21-31. I'll just read it through. I don't know. Kutvadayam cha jiveshu datva cha bhayam atmavan mayatmanam sahajagat driksha shatmani chapiyaham. I'm sorry, chapimam. Showing compassion to all living entities, you will attain self-realization. Giving assurance of safety to all, you will perceive your own self as well as all universes in me and myself in you. This is Krishna speaking to Kardama Muni. So this is it's a long purport, this part of it, by Srila Prabhupada. It is indicated here that Kardama Muni was directed by the Lord to be very compassionate and liberal in his householder life and to give assurance to the people in his renounced life. A sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life, is meant to give enlightenment to the people. He should travel, going from home to home to enlighten. The devotee should show mercy to the fallen souls and also give them assurance of fearlessness. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he is convinced that he is protected by the Lord. Fear itself is afraid of the Lord. Therefore, what does he have to do with fearfulness? Okay. So an advanced devotee shows compassion to all people, as Srila Prabhupada is discussing in this purport. And that compassion is manifested by freely giving spiritual knowledge to all, attempting to connect everyone with Krishna, the Supreme Lord, so that people can become free of their material anxieties, the material problems, and actually even free from continued rebirth in this material universe. So it's an extremely important quality that we see manifested in the great devotees in our line, and to all devotees, really, a different degree. In Bhagavad Gita 16.2, the qualities of the divine nature are given, and one of those is compassion for all living entities. So those with the divine nature, or those who are godly, or basically those who are devotees, should have this compassion for all living entities. And of course, how do we gain compassion? How do we have any compassion? Only because Krishna has compassion. We are small part and parcels, particles, the jiva soul, as an infinitesimal spark of the Lord Krishna, who has all great qualities. We partake in those qualities to small degrees. So because Krishna has compassion, we also have compassion as an essential quality of the soul. So the devotees reflect the mercy of the Lord within this material world. And Krishna's quality of mercy is most brilliantly reflected, most brilliantly manifested in the form of Srimati Radharani. Okay? So, of course, Krishna is known by many things. One is that he is a friend to all. The Krishna is a friend to all. You know, in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokam Heshvaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Yatvaman Shantim Richtati. He's the dearmost friend and well-wisher of all living entities. That is one of the qualities. In fact, Prabhupada said these three qualities are essential. If everybody, he said this is the peace formula. If everybody could understand these qualities of Krishna, there would be peace and happiness in the world. So Krishna's Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, the receiver of all sacrifice, everything is meant to be given to him. Sarvaloka Maheshvaram, he's the controller. He's of all the worlds. He is the original, the source of everything. But he's not just this aloof, powerful figure to be feared. No. Krishna is Suhridim Sarvabhutanam. He's the dearmost friend and well-wisher of the living entity. So Krishna has his power and he also has his sweetness. So both are there in beautiful balance for the devotees. So this quality is further defined in Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Somedveshu Stina Priya Yev Janti Tumam Bhaktya Mayi Te Te Shuchapyaham. Krishna says, I envy no one. I'm not partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I'm a friend to him. Now, someone might think Krishna is partial. Oh, he's friends with devotees, but not to others? No. He's equal to everyone. Prabhupada explains this. He says, one may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is his special friend, then why does he take a special interest in the devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental service? This is not discrimination. It is natural. Any man in the material world would be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity, in whatever form, humans, animals, plants, is his son. And so he provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock or land or water. In other words, his mercy, his compassion is freely given. Sometimes it's received well, sometimes it's not. Just as the rainfall comes and it falls on fertile ground and nourishes the crops, but it also falls on rocks and on the ocean where it does little good. But still it is there. And then Prabhupada says, but for his devotees, he gives special attention. So Jiva Goswami also in a Preeti Sandarbha says the chief meaning of bhakti is preeti. Preeti means basically love, affection, something like that. It's very many different definitions. Bhakti is preeti, filled with identity of the Lord being merciful. So that's interesting. Part of our definition of bhakti, of what devotional service to the Lord is that understanding the Lord being merciful to us. And he says it's of two types, nourishment and compassion. Nourishment means the Lord gives bliss by his sarup and his qualities. Compassion, anukampa, means that though the Lord is complete, he develops the desire the devotees serve him and gives auspicious to the service to his devotees. Compassion is this desire to assist the devotee since the Lord has a soft heart. So one of the ways that he shows he's merciful is through bhakti. And what is bhakti? Bhakti is love and devotion, devotional service. So if we don't have any service, we haven't really received the Lord's mercy, have we? You know, the mercy of the Lord, his compassion, is giving us service to him and to the devotees. So why is that? Why is service his mercy? Because that is our constitutional position. That is where we are perfectly situated, where we are perfectly happy, and thus we engage in this loving, reciprocal relationship with Krishna through service. Because the devotees are serving Krishna, and Krishna is also thinking himself as serving his devotees. He says, I am owned by my devotees, I am possessed by my devotees, I know nothing other than them. What's the verse in the ninth canto, fourth chapter? He's speaking to, I guess, Durvasa Muni after the... That one, yeah. Right. In other words, he's basically Krishna's saying that you offend my devotee, what can I do? That's worse than offending me because the devotees are my heart. You know, I know nothing but my devotees. I'm their servant, he's actually saying, even though obviously we're Krishna's servants. But that's his mood, this mood. And that's wonderful about our whole Krishna conscious experience and philosophy, that it's a loving, reciprocal exchange. You know, it's not based upon fear of an angry God that's just going to punish us. Although, you know, there is karma. but nevertheless, the mood that we want to have is one of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So, because Krishna is a friend of all, the devotee is also a friend to all. But first, let's talk a little bit about Srimati Radharani. In the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada's summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, chapter 22 is the qualities of Krishna. And one of those is compassion. Now, this is Krishna's compassion we're talking about. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Okay, what does that mean? Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. Right? It's kind of hard to walk out and say, God, where are you? And, you know, it doesn't quite work like that, at least not for most of us. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. So that's how we invoke the compassion of Krishna, by going through Radharani. Now, and that's one of the greatest qualities of Radharani, is her mercy. I want to read a couple things, a little bit longer, but one is, first thing, I'm going to just read these together, but the first one is from the purport from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.23 by Srila Prabhupada, and the next second paragraph I'm going to be reading is from a Radhastami lecture in 1971. It's very similar to one I think they played this morning. And it may be the same one, I'm not sure. But it says, in the Brahma Samhita, it is said, the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literature, but he's very easily approachable through his pure devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Quick editorial insert here. I don't know how what kind of relationship you all have with your parents, but I always found, you know, that my mother was kind of like a little easier, a little kinder, sweeter than my dad. You know, I don't know, you know, it's kind of like that. So, you know, I mean, that's a very material example, of course. All right. So resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. So if we receive the blessings and the mercy of Radharani, she recommends us, and automatically we get the mercy of Krishna. Now this is same idea in the next paragraph from the lecture. Radharani is Hari Priya, very dear to Krishna. So if we approach Krishna through Radharani, through the mercy of Radharani, then it becomes very easy. If Radharani recommends that this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts, however a fool I may be. Of course, Prabhupada speaking humbly here. Because it is recommended by Radharani, because he is recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore, in Vrindavan, you will find all the devotees, they're chanting more Radharani's name than Krishna's. Wherever you go, you'll find the devotees addressing Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe. You'll find still in Vrindavan, they are glorifying Radharani. They're more interested worshiping Radharani. Because however fallen I may be, if some way or other I can please Radharani, then it is very easy for me to understand Krishna. Okay? Yeah. So, Krishna, of course, is kind to all the conditioned souls. And this age of Kali that we're in now, life is very difficult. Things are not so good, not so auspicious for spiritual realization. We have some material advancement in technology, etc., but we actually do not have much advancement in spiritual life, as was there in earlier ages of this world, of this universe. But Krishna's great kindness, of course, in this age of Kali, but is his manifestation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered most merciful. Rupa Goswami's prayers, Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pridayate. He's saying he is the most magnanimous. He is the most merciful. Why? Krishna Prema Pridayate. He gave Krishna Prema. That means the highest possible understanding, the highest possible experience of knowing God, of loving God. You know, of really being in that realm, that pure spiritual realm of the internal potency of the spiritual world is available to us. Even though we're very fallen, we have very little austerity, we have very little intelligence, I mean, compared to, you know, the great sages 5,000 years ago who didn't even need to have the scriptures written down because hearing everything once, they had it memorized. Now, I can read this thing over and over and I can't remember it after 10 minutes. So, there's a great difference in the intelligence. But nevertheless, we are being given a greater opportunity than those great sages in former ages who had to perform austerities for thousands of years. They had to memorize scriptures, all of this intellectual, all of this, you know, yoga, jnana. The process of bhakti has made the pure essence of Krishna, of God himself, and his beautiful counterpart, Radharani, so accessible to us. And that is pure mercy. It's not that we've done a whole lot of great things in our life, or at least myself. You know, maybe you are probably all great sages from past lifetimes. Myself, what can I say? It's only the mercy of Krishna, Radharani, and Srila Prabhupada, the pure devotees, that we're here, that at least that I am here today, being able to have a little glimpse of understanding of Krishna and this wonderful philosophy. So Lord Chaitanya came in the mood and the complexion of Radharani. It's called the golden avatar because it was, he is Krishna, but in Radharani's mood. So it's almost like a combined, almost it is, combined avatar of Radha and Krishna together. It's Krishna, but in the mood, the emotion, the color, the attitude, the prema exhibited by Radharani. And we see that in, as we read through Chaitanya Charitamrita, particularly like Anshalila and some of those later cantos. So he's given us this easiest process of realization, but still the highest. And of course, he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of Hare Krishna, to deliver all living entities in this universe, particularly at least on this planet, in Kali Yuga. And the primary process, of course, is through the chanting of the holy name. And that chanting allows us to experience Krishna, to become purified in the heart, to be able to give up so much of our material conceptions and material attachments, you know, all that hankering and desiring for just something more that's going to satisfy me in this material world, but which never does. Right? So that is given up. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we're invoking the mercy of Krishna and Radharani. In a 1971 New York lecture, Prabhupada said, Hare is addressing Krishna, who is in charge of devotional service because she can obtain the compassion of Krishna for us. So, he's explaining, you know, in the Hare Krishna mantra, we are chanting the names of Radhe, Hare, and the names of Krishna. Actually, Hara is the name of Radhe, and Prabhupada says that Hare is, he calls it the vocative form, which means, vocative, I had to look this up, you know, once a few years ago, because I never quite understood what it meant. A vocative form in grammar means that you're addressing, you're calling out to. So you're calling out to Radha or Hara through the name Hare. Just like the name Radha, and there's a name, and then sometimes we say Radhe, right? So that's calling out. At least that's my understanding. I don't know Sanskrit very well. But anyway, so Prabhupada said, and I remember as a new devotee, one of the first things I learned, and I read this in Prabhupada's purports or something, that the Hare Krishna mantra means, the definition of that is, O Krishna, O energy of the Lord, Radharani, please engage me in your devotional service. Right? We've probably all heard that. Now, okay, I kind of understood that. You know, nice, simple definition. I heard like 51 years ago. Now, after many, many years of chanting Hare Krishna, of reading books, of becoming deeper and deeper in the philosophy, now I've really kind of understood the real meaning. You want to hear it, the Hare Krishna mantra? The deep meaning is, O Krishna, O Radhe, energy of the Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. That's it. It's no secret. You know, it's right there in all of Prabhupada's books. You know, from the very beginning, we've been given this, you know, greatest secret. Just Krishna, Radharani, engage me in your service. And that's their mercy, as we were saying before. Having that service to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna should be our constant prayer. To serve the lotus feet of the Lord, to serve the lotus feet of Radharani, and of course our Guru, that's the perfection of life. So if we can always remember that, remember Radharani, remember Krishna, remember Guru, remember Srila Prabhupada, there's no question of advancing. It might be a little faster, a little slower, but we are on the path. I always like that little book, you know, that they assemble called Path of Perfection, right? It's a nice title, isn't it? Because that's what we're on. We are on the path of perfection. We're not perfect, but we're on the path of perfection. So that's almost as good as being perfect. It means someday, some year, some life, we're going to make it. And that is the mercy of the Lord. So, that kindness that is there in Krishna is also, as we said, an important quality for advanced devotees. And devotees, a friend to everyone. Quality in Bhagavad Gita 12:13, Adeshta Sarvabhutana Maitre Karuna. Non-envious toward all living entities and a kind friend. That quality is there. In fact, devotees are kind and compassionate, not just to friends, but even to enemies. This one took me a little while to kind of, you know, it's not immediately understandable, but over the years, after, you know, you start to understand at least how this would be ideally in advanced devotees. Because a devotee doesn't see others as friends or enemies, as Prahlad Maharaj said, don't see, that's diplomacy, don't see in terms of friends and enemies. This person I like, this person I don't. What that usually means is, this person is advantageous to me, right? I can get something I want from them, this person I'm not getting something I want, or maybe even something negative. So it's a very material way of looking at relationships. So that is not the way the devotee looks. The devotee should be seeing, how can I help this person? How can I have compassion? How can I have mercy? Maybe they can help me too. But let me first see if I can help them. Okay? Or do something for them or serve in some way. King Yudhishthir, the great Pandava king, great emperor of the world, who was fighting on the Battle of Kurukshetra, great warrior, maybe not quite as great as his brother Arjuna, but still a Kshatriya warrior. He was called Ajatashatru, one whose enemy was never born, one who has no enemy. How can someone who is out on a battlefield, how many people were killed in the battle? 18 million? No.
640 million.
Only 640 million. So, but yet he was everyone's friend. He had no enemies, even though his troops probably were responsible for a few hundred million of those. And why is that? Because of his tolerance, his situating spiritual consciousness, he was not looking at how he would gain. He was only doing what he had to do because it was Krishna's order. And Arjuna, his brother, the greatest warrior, so Bhagavad Gita was written, stops in the middle of the battle. Arjuna, you know, can fight the whole army single-handedly himself. He has that kind of skill and ability. He stops and says, Krishna, I cannot fight, and puts down his bow out of compassion. Now, Krishna explains to him that it may have been misdirected compassion, and it was better that he simply does what his will was and helped enact the will of the Lord. But it wasn't because he was cowardly. It was because of compassion. So those qualities are naturally there, even in these warriors. What to speak of Brahmins and gentle sages and others like that. So devotee is also kind because not just some sentimental, like, oh, people are suffering, or these people are hungry, or these people are on the street, and I should do something for them. That's fine. That's fine. But there's a higher level, and that's understanding the spiritual nature of everyone, that the spirit soul, the atma, the jiva, is within every material body of every person, animal, plant, demigod, everyone. And that pure spirit soul is a direct reflection of Krishna, is a part and parcel of God coming from him. And therefore, everyone is our brother and sister, right? Because we have the common father. Prabhupada said this. We have the common father, Krishna. So we're all brothers and sisters. Bhagavad Gita 5.18 says, the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog or a dog-eater, an outcast. So that's the nature of the devotee's vision. I guess it's something that I think is aspirational. In other words, that's what I would aspire to be. Not necessarily something that I can see in that mood at all times, but at least something that I should keep that in the back of my mind. This is a higher developed, perfected vision that a very advanced devotee would have. Right? The devotee also tolerates. If someone is unkind to us, does something to us, do we sit and smolder in resentment for years how we can get back at that person, or boy, we'll show them? No. That simply causes pain. That causes more implication in the entanglement of the modes of nature. Just gets us more and more involved in those lower modes of nature, not something we want. Resentment's, you know, resentment is a very destructive mood, actually, for a devotee to have. We had a friend who was a counselor who once said, and I don't know whether she invented it or not, but she said that resentment is like drinking poison and thinking that the other person will die. Right? They go, oh, I'm going to get, you know, I mean, we're just holding this resentment, and we think that's, that you think we're hurting them? We're hurting ourselves. We're drinking the poison. So the devotee needs to become broad-minded, not miserly, not creeping out. We become, you know, what's the opposite of creeping? The spiritual world over broad-minded and...
Udar.
Oh, like Udaradi. Yeah, like broader Udaradi. Right. That's a good one. Some other ones too, I think. Anyway, so what if we have some misfortune? What if we have something happens to us? What if someone does treat us badly? It happens, right? How does the devotee think? But Brahma prayed, the 14th chapter, 10th canto, right? In the Brahma Moha Leela. After, you know the whole story. I don't want to go into it. But his prayer in the 14th chapter is one that Prabhupada, of course, it came after Prabhupada disappeared, so he didn't directly write a commentary. But in other places he wrote about it. This is the one, Tathagatam Samikshamana. He said, the devotee should wear this as a garland around it. He said, this should be, what did he call it? This should be like the motto. That's the word he used. He said, this should be the motto for all devotees. And Lord Brahma's prayer was, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering his respectful obeisances with his heart, his words, his body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So in other words, if I'm experiencing suffering, I'm probably experiencing some past misdeed in this lifetime or a past lifetime, something I probably deserve more, probably deserve worse. In fact, Prabhupada said for a devotee, a practicing devotee, how, you know, there's a whole discussion in Nectar Devotion, you know, how our karma is mitigated by devotional service. And Prabhupada said, the hand, the knife that slices, that cuts your finger in the kitchen was meant to cut your throat. Right? I mean, not literally, this is an analogy. In other words, we have a small thing happen to us, it was probably our karma would have given us so much more, but by the kindness of Krishna and that karma winding down as we purify the heart through devotional service. So, basically, the quality of the devotee is he's paradukaduki, because he's never distressed in any condition of life, and he's only distressed to see the distress of others. That's how Prahlada Maharaj prayed. I don't have any real problem myself. I'm situated not well. You know, I know that Krishna is giving me all protection. God is like protecting me, supporting me. Whatever happens is his will. But sometimes I feel unhappy because I see so many people in this material world are unhappy. And that gives me distress. Right? So that's the mood of the devotee. The devotee is everyone's friend. Actually, Prahlad said, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness, maintaining families, societies, and countries. In other words, becoming more and more implicated in karma and the wheel of samsara. He says, I am only concerned with love for them. So to relieve the suffering of others is the basis of Vaishnava compassion. And spiritual compassion is a true kindness. It differs from just doing good deeds or nice words or being friendly or philanthropic. It's not just empathy or sympathy, because compassion means not only seeing the suffering of others, but of having the knowledge and the willingness, the desire to relieve that suffering. And the devotee knows the best way to relieve that suffering permanently is through the process of bhakti, the process of Krishna consciousness, especially through giving people the holy name, the chanting of Hare Krishna. Then we make a permanent solution to the problems of life. Prabhupada would say that a lot. Make a permanent solution. Don't make little piecemeal solutions. Make a permanent solution to all of your problems. And that's by getting out of this material world through spiritual life, through our surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna and Radharani. And particularly on these very, very auspicious times, we've just had the appearance days, the wonderful, holy, blissful appearance days of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani back to back. A very, very wonderful time of the year. And through their mercy, and through the mercy of Guru, we've also had Srila Prabhupada's appearance day recently. We can actually achieve the stage of real happiness. We can receive that mercy. We can become free of this material world and continue our path of perfection to return to the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. Okay. So thank you so much for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Sri Radhe.